1-800-259-9149.
Free Talk Live, we are launching an hour number two of the program. You can bring up anything if you dial the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And is Ian here with you?
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. Feel free to compare and contrast to the other talk radio websites out there, those other talk show hosts. They want to charge you to access their site. We've got more for free than they charge you for in many cases. So check that out at freetalklive.com. As we go to your phone calls and talk to Tom in New Hampshire, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Tom.
You're right. There are two different kinds of opinions on any given issue. There's mine and wrong. And
that's
the problem
cute.
Is, with the, about the fairness doctrine, by the way, before I go to the point I was called to make, is that if, let's say, I don't like what the local radio station is broadcasting, so I go ahead and get the equipment and put up the broadcasting tower and start broadcasting my conflicting opinions, it wouldn't be long before a bunch of gun-toting goons in bulletproof vests would come pay me a visit and shut me down by violent force.
Probably
so true. They're using violent force or the threat of force to stifle the dissenting opinions, and the ones who have the favor of the government are able to obtain the licenses and then regulate what gets said on those frequencies.
Yep.
Because they control who gets to go into the studio.
It's a great point. The FCC is going to masquerade as though they care about fairness when at the very same time, the only way to get your opposing opinion out is to hope that you can convince whoever it is that runs the FCC-licensed radio station to allow you to give that opinion out. So you still have to work through their system in order to get your ideas out there, whereas just flipping on a transmitter would be certainly a much easier solution and would do, I think, an awful lot to stimulate new ideas and new conversations in this country if people could go ahead and put up their own radio stations without fear of having armed goons with guns kicking in their front door and stealing all of their equipment. I think that I'm a huge fan of pirate radio or community radio, whatever you want to call it. And I think that would be a wonderful solution to whatever the perceived problem is of imbalance on the airwaves.
Now, here's the issue that I brought up at work, that our company is checking people's citizenship and permanent residence status because we're building stuff that's regulated. You know, it's called international trafficking in arms restrictions. I told you before that they're starting to branch out Pentagon contracting as customers. And so they're checking citizenship. All private employers, of course, are required to do the I-9 form to check what's your citizenship. And then the Pentagon contractors themselves are working on classified stuff, so they check their citizenship. You have to be a U.S. citizen and get the background checks and all of that to work on that stuff as a matter of national security. Meanwhile, an illegal alien with a phony Hawaii birth certificate gets elected commander-in-chief of the armed forces. But here's the scary thing. What if he gets disqualified and the Electoral College says, well, we don't want to vote for him because he's disqualified. Let's vote for Hitlery instead. Hitlery and Joe
Could
Biden.
They do that?
Or Biden and Biden. Hitlery. Or Biden gets in as president and then nominates Hitlery to be the vice president.
I see. Yeah, it's a possibility.
That's the scary part about what's going on there. So,
well,
it's all really scary
to me.
Yeah. It's a bad thing because Barack Obama or Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton could become president or vice president of the United States, and all of them are bad. And I read on
John
the
McCain's bad
Project,
too. It's bad any way you slice it, Tom.
I read on the Free State Project's website that four members got elected to the New Hampshire House of Representatives.
This is
so
true.
There's a little bit of good news there. When I went to the New Hampshire Republican State Convention, I simply held my nose, and it was pretty much a John McCain for President rally. It was a pep rally, and I kind of felt sorry for all these imbeciles out there. But that's the way you got to deal with it. You got to feel sorry for all these idiots.
Yeah, that's
and
what you got to do, Tom. Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. 800-259-9231. There's always someone.
High note before he advocates shooting cops.
There's always someone worse off than you, I suppose. Toll-free, 800-259-9231. All right. So, hey, you know, since we're talking about the FCC, here's a little bit of good news. I've been holding on to this for a few days, looking to get it out there at some point. Because from time to time, they do something right. And here's their recent decision from Reuters. The U.S. Federal Communications Commission on last Tuesday approved a plan sought by tech companies like Google and Microsoft to open soon-to-be-vacant television airwaves to new wireless devices.
Geez, I wonder why they approved that.
Because the SEC, or that Google gave them billions of dollars?
Right.
The five-member FCC voted to open unlicensed pockets of the spectrum known as white space that will become available when U.S. broadcasters are required to move to digital television early next year. Companies like Microsoft and Google, as well as consumer groups, said access to the white space airwaves would encourage innovation in cellular telephones and wireless devices as much as Wi-Fi did. So according to the FCC bureaucrats, one of them dissented in part, saying she preferred a more formal process to deal with interference issues. Traditional broadcasters and even country singer Dolly Parton opposed the plan. They said signals sent over that part of the spectrum could cause interference with broadcasts or wireless microphones at live productions. A broadcasters group, by the way, I'd like to point out that the Wi-Fi they mentioned here is one of those, as I understand it, one of those unlicensed white spaces, the Wi-Fi and the 2.4 gigahertz home phone that you might have. Those are both devices that operate in the same spectrum range where those agencies, whatever the companies are that are making those products, don't have to go and get special licenses in order to make products in that particular frequency range, if I'm remembering correctly. That was the case. So now we're just talking about more of that. We're talking about more bandwidth allocated to experimental things and new ideas and technology.
I love it when stars, and I like Dolly Parton. I like her work ethic, and her music's great too. But I like it. I think it's hilarious when stars get involved in things like this. What does Dolly Parton know about the electromagnetic spectrum?
Who knows? The FCC sided with the tech companies and consumer groups after two rounds of testing the devices. An agency engineering report released several weeks ago said the spectrum could be used without causing harmful interference. So some of the traditional broadcasters are saying, no, this is going to ruin everything. And, of course, Google and Microsoft are saying everything's going to be fine. So we shall see what happens, but it should be, if they really have the freedom to develop in these particular areas, so who knows what kind of wonderful technologies could spring up from that.
I'm interested in what Google intends to do. They must have big plans, but I'm kind of curious as to what they might be.
Time will tell, I'm sure. Looking forward to finding out. Sergeant Pitstop is on the line. We go to George. Sergeant Pitstop, you're on Free Talk Live.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's on your mind?
The other day, you had some calls. Callers are worried about economic troubles nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to call in with a few words of inspiration.
Great.
You want to read a poem or something?
I'm going to dedicate this one to the hustlers standing on the curb, smoking herb, moving weight from the inner city to the suburbs, paranoid of jail, pockets full of Yale, just waiting on another sale. Sip your beers, wipe your tears, encourage your peers. It's going to be all right.
You know, that is
everything is going to be all right. Sell your dope. Make your money every night.
You know, it's not a bad
suggestion.
Brothers
around the corner, they want to start a fight. That's
Seriously,
okay.
Who
Sell
is that?
Your dope.
What song is that?
It's Afro Man.
Afro Man. I have to say that, it's not a bad idea. I mean, if you're having tough economic times and you're willing to take a little bit of risk, there's always a demand for illicit substances out there. And if you can get your hands on some of them and turn them over without getting caught.
Smoking them.
You'll be able to make that's true. The best dealers don't use their own product.
All you got to do is buy a little extra.
Thanks for the call tonight, dude. Appreciate the suggestion. 800-259-9231. If you need to make a few extra bucks going out and doing prostitution, might be a way to bring some money in.
You're twisted, man.
Selling some illegal drugs, that's going to bring some money in. And even in down times, down economic times, people are still going to be wanting to get away from it all. I would say even more so, if not.
They say beer and cigarette sales are down.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I don't know what to think about that.
Well, I've always
heard hard liquor.
The beer, I don't know, but I don't know.
800-259-9231.
People might be drinking just as much beer, just drinking the cheaper beer.
You can be sure that people are going to, people are going to be interested in imbibing. They are going to be interested in changing their brain chemistry, even in tough economic times. So if you can help feed those desires of the marketplace, you'll profit. Of course, you might end up in a cage, but hey, such is the risk.
Try to stay on this side of the law.
More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-246-6204. That's 1-800-246-6204. With Superbeta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Call 1-800-246-6204. That's 1-800-246-6204.
Honey, have you seen the remote?
Sweetie, have you seen my car keys?
I can't find my wallet.
Sound familiar? Why not save time looking for lost things and lose the stress instead? Introducing our patented Find One, Find All Key Finders, or FOFA XD for short. Once a FOFA key finder is attached to each of those easy-to-lose things, it can find and be found by all the rest. Use your wallet to find your keys to find the remote control, or any of them to find an uncharged or muted cell phone. The possibilities are endless. FOFA goes through walls, cushions, and laundry baskets up to 30 feet and projects a clear 90-plus decibel beep.
Got the remote!
Oh, my keys.
There's my wallet.
Order your FOFA today with batteries included along with a 30-day money-back guarantee by calling Find One, Find All at 866-245-8670. That's 866-245-8670. Or buy online at findonefindall.com. That's findonefindall.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929. How much are you willing to lose? Take action now. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. I believe that we are facing a financial catastrophe of biblical proportion. Over recent decades, numerous economic systems have failed. Current Federal Reserve policy and uncontrolled government spending have set the stage for the United States to be the next target. Secure your assets today by calling 1-800-686-2237, extension 129. Do this while paper can still buy gold. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
Fact: rapid industrialization has resulted in environmental pollution, and its curse on world health is staggering. We live in a toxic world that is bombarded by 7 new chemicals each day. The human body is amazing and efficient in design, but because of the polluted world in which we live, is unable to remove all toxins. The solution: detoxification integrated with Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa. The Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa helps to aid in cleansing the body of harmful toxins while energizing and oxygenating your entire body at the cellular level. Detoxification works with the Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa because it addresses the needs of individual cells, the building blocks of human life. For mental clarity, restored vitality, a stronger immune system, clear skin, and health in every aspect of your being, order your Electro Qi Premier Energy Foot Spa by visiting NutraMedical.com or call Dr. William Deagle at 888-212-8871, 888-212-8871.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything if you dial the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, and those features include the wiki with over 1,800 pages created by listeners just like you. You can go to wiki.freetalklive.com and get interactive for free. That's wiki, W-I-K-I.freetalklive.com.
The Institute for Humane Studies is now offering free seminars over spring break. This March, join other libertarians from across the country for an intense and interdisciplinary exploration of classical liberal and libertarian thought. Participation is free. The IHS provides housing and meals during the conference. Apply now to attend a seminar at the University of California, Santa Cruz, March 7th through the 12th, or at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, March 14th through the 19th. Visit LibertarianSeminars.com for more information. It's open to undergraduates, graduate students, and recent graduates. Meals, housing, and the cost of participation is covered by the IHS.
Still to come, we got to talk. Come back to the topic of national service, but I've been hanging on to this one from LouRockwell.com for a couple days now, sort of an after post-election viewpoint on the issue of voting from David Bardalis. Still, I think something that voting is still something controversial amongst many members of our audience. Some people feel like they should continue to vote in order to minimize the damage done by the various different evils that are presenting themselves as options. Some people feel like voting itself is an evil, and there's, I'm sure, a variety of other viewpoints. I don't know if it's all covered here, but Bardalis has a few thoughts that I thought were worth sharing. He says, being a principled non-voter on election day is a little like being a turd in the punch bowl.
Oof.
At least that's how all the people running around yesterday, blissfully participating in the American civic religion of statism, viewed it. I'm some sort of a downer, a crank, a loony, a jerk. In fact, Julia and I were out shopping the other day, and there was a button that was for sale that said, voting is cool. So they're really trying to put the idea out there that participation in the system makes one sort of part of the in crowd, I guess. And everybody that doesn't vote is apparently part of the problem, when in fact it might actually be the reverse that's the truth. Anyway, it's not, he says, that I view voting as pointless. Even some active voters admit as much, but they still go through the motions because you can't just do nothing. He says, I don't think not voting is equivalent to doing nothing, but we'll come back to that. No, I don't vote because I believe voting, and here I'm talking particularly about national elections, is a positive evil, a fact that by now should be completely clear, but for whatever reason, does not seem to be. And this actually is starting to sound like something you might agree with, Mark, because you've sort of given up on the idea of being able to save the federal government, but at the same time, we've seen real evidence that voting can make a difference on a local level here in New Hampshire. So he's focusing on national voting with this particular article. He says, now, it's possible to get many voters to recognize certain uncomfortable facts about the nature of politics, national politics, such as the often indistinguishable nature of candidates from the major parties, and that there are major parties. Some voters seem to understand that large vested interests, like Goldman Sachs, for example, play both sides of the fence with political donations, hoping for their state-enabled exploitation to continue uninterrupted, if not to expand. Some voters even get it that it's always the same small club of elites who just swap plum administrative jobs every couple of years, regardless of who wins any particular election. And still others are aware of the stories of vote fraud surrounding the increasingly common Diebold electronic voting gizmos. And I'd add in that you can talk to most Americans and they'll tell you that, well, how do you tell a politician's lying? It's when his lips are moving. So many Americans are inherently understanding the corruption that is the federal government.
They just don't know what else to do.
Right. To top it all off, says Bardalis, everyone at least knows something about the illegal and or immoral activities of the U.S. government, from systematic kidnapping and torture and unprovoked wars that have slaughtered more than a million people abroad, to the establishment of a police state here at home that spies on everyone, suppresses free speech, criminalizes dissent, restricts travel, and bullies and plunders us with abandon. But even as the proverbial horse is presently directed with the trough, he still usually refuses to drink. In other words, despite knowing all that he knows about the voting process and the nature of what he's supporting, the average voter will not take the next logical step and decline to participate in a game that's not only rigged, but that's actively harmful to himself and his fellow human beings. Why? Well, it's an interesting question. I can't read people's minds nor understand their motives, and I don't pretend to, but one clue is found in the common responses that one receives when one insults or impugns the civic religion, sometimes even simply by saying, I don't vote. Well, why don't you go live somewhere else then?
I guess you'd rather we had a dictatorship. It's because of people like you that this country's in the mess it's in. How can you just not care? Think of all the soldiers who died for your right to vote.
A careful reading of each of these responses reveals that, whatever its other merits, none has any logical connection to my decision not to vote. This suggests that for many, voting is experienced as an emotional act more than anything else.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. You know, I voted in the presidential primary, So I made my – you can't say that this country is in the state that it's in because I decided not to vote.
You tried for Ron Paul.
Because I tried to give us – what I considered to be a good choice among – you know, instead of two crap sandwiches like we had. And it's not like the presidential race was close in New Hampshire. So if I would have chosen for Barack Obama or would have chosen for John McCain, it's not like it made a difference because it wasn't close. Yeah, my vote wouldn't have made a difference.
They're just upset that you aren't playing the same game they are.
Somehow I would represent everyone who didn't vote, and I can't control everyone who didn't vote. All I can control is me and whether or not I vote. Now, I went to the polls and I did vote. I just didn't vote in the presidential election.
Well, essentially, we didn't vote in the presidential election. Or I guess you didn't because you made an agreement. But I voted in the presidential election, but not for anyone who could possibly win. Right, I voted for George Phillies. So anyway, their egos are involved at a fundamentally non-rational level. If you mock the civic religion, you are therefore, or so he perceives, mocking the voter as a person. For whatever reason, he invests a lot of his own identity in his chosen party or candidate, and hence the importance attached to voting for a winner and the immediate dismissal of anyone who doesn't have a chance.
Right, and this is right. It's also so you're sort of wrapped up in not voting is voting for a third party is in some ways considered to be the same as not voting in people's minds.
Right, yeah, it gives them that same emotional response. Like, how dare you not pick one of the two major candidates?
Well, you wouldn't have had Al Gore or whatever.
Yeah, but more than that, the emotionally comfortable experience of voting rests on the willful denial of what the U.S. government is and does. Now, it's true, there have been and there are some governments that are even more hostile to their subjects' lives and properties than ours is at present. But this doesn't change the fact that ours is bad and getting worse, nor that ours presumes to murderously lord it over the entire planet instead of confining itself to one particular region of tyranny. Many voters will simply consider criticisms of the U.S. government as hyperbole or as criticisms of the country itself. This is because believing that one can say one is against war, torture, and plunder while voting for all three is much more psychologically reassuring than admitting the inescapable truth, namely that one's voluntary assent to a system that promotes institutionalized violence as a way to organizing human affairs is simply shameful. So I confess to being short with people who presumptuously ask, "Did you vote?" or who literally wear their voterdom, "I voted," around like a badge of moral superiority. I have trouble hiding my disdain when otherwise intelligent people flaunt their absurd belief that despite all evidence to the contrary, they have some say in what a government that employs some 4 million people, 536 of whom are elected every 2 to 6 years, actually does. Now, is non-voting a form of surrender? Well, we'll take a look at some of the mistaken premises that people have about the ideas here in moments. 800-259-9231, and you can bring up anything. Plus, we got to get back to the national service issue. Old Barack Obama's got himself a plan, and we'll talk about what that is exactly, or at least what it is in this particular incarnation. I don't think any legislation has been yet written up on this. More coming up. You take control. This is Free Talk Live.
I am so frustrated. I can't seem to remember anything anymore.
What?
Seriously, my memory and attention span is terrible. I read something and forget. I forget people's names. I hear all this great information on the radio and I want to tell people, but I forget.
Okay, slow down. Poor attention and memory loss is not your fault. Factors like fluoride in the water, aluminum in deodorants, genetically modified foods, the way the education system taught you. It's all meant to dumb you down. You know, I can remember everything now, even entire books.
What? How?
There is this website called School of Phenomenal Memory. Their online course is a real breakthrough in the field of memory improvement. In fact, they guarantee that every single person will be able to memorize any type of information, including entire books, after they complete just 60 lessons. And they offer a no-questions-asked, no-time-limit, money-back guarantee.
Wow. What's the website?
Now, don't forget, it's pmemory.net. The letter P, memory.net.
We all know that the Berkey water systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. The revolutionary Berkey Light self-sterilizing and recleanable purification elements purify water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and by extracting harmful chemicals such as herbicides, pesticides, VOCs, organic solvents, radon-222, and trihalomethanes. They also reduce nitrates, nitrates, sediment, and unhealthy minerals such as lead and mercury. As an authorized dealer for over 2.5 years, serving thousands of satisfied customers, customers. We offer amazing specials for Berkey Light water systems. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey filter elements and free KDF shower filter for only $209, plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping and one KDF shower filter, a $49 value free for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or simply click on the banner at GCNLive.com to order online now. Not yet available in Iowa.
Gee, honey, those new shoes look great on you.
And look, they show off my new toenails, too.
New toenails? What happened to the old ones?
Well, they're not really new, just clear and healthy looking. Remember how embarrassed I was? They were so discolored, really awful looking.
Well, they sure look clear now. I wish I could wear sandals again. My toenails are a disaster. Look, this one looks white and that one's thick and yellow.
Here's my secret. Non-X Nail Gel. It clears out yellowing keratin debris, the cause of nail discoloration.
So that's it. I've got ugly keratin debris buildup under my nails.
And Non-X Nail Gel gets rid of it. You'll need to use it daily, but clear nails are worth it.
You bet. When we go to the beach next summer, my toenails are going to look just as good as yours do.
Thanks to Non-X Nail Gel.
Non-X Nail Gel for clear, healthy-looking nails. Now at Walgreens, Rite Aid, CVS, Long's, Meijer, Target, and other fine pharmacies and mass retailers. In the foot care section.
Fuel prices are up and down, biting into everyone's budget. If you're ready to start saving at the pump, Fuel Saver Technologies can help. With a small squeeze of our fuel conditioner in your gas tank, more of each gallon of fuel will combust, improving your fuel economy 10 to 20% or more. Completely safe for all engines, gas or diesel, we guarantee that your savings will exceed the cost of our product. Our fuel additive reduces the emissions and maintenance costs and reduces the friction of engine moving parts. Our 2-ounce consumer squeeze bottle costs only $8 and treats 100 gallons of gasoline or 50 gallons of diesel. If you buy a case of 16 or 32 bottles, the price drops to $6 a bottle and we'll ship it to you for free. Call us toll free at 866-768-7811 or look online at FuelSaverInc.com. Start saving on fuel today, 866-768-7811. Online, FuelSaverInc.com. Spend a little and save a lot.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything if you dial toll-free to 1-800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site, they're completely free, so enjoy those, including the archives. If you missed a moment of the show, click and download. They are right there on the front page of the website for your downloaded convenience, going back for an entire year totally free at freetalklive.com.
Julia hopping on the mic till the end of the show.
That's right, Julia joining us. Better to have some Julia than no Julia. She is feeling a little under the weather tonight. And that's always sad to hear, but it's good that she managed to get herself out of bed to join us for the remaining hour and a half of the show.
Yeah.
Don't breathe at me.
She sounds so excited to be here.
I am excited.
Okay, good. That's good. Because we're talking about non-voting. We're talking about not voting at a national level and some people's responses to the idea that you wouldn't. And I don't just mean not voting, period. I mean especially not voting for the two major party candidates. You know, some of the responses that you get from people when they find out that you're not participating in their little game that they're playing.
One of my friends was telling me that she has this new little 16-year-old sort of buddy who's kind of latched on to her, and she said, "Did you vote today?" My friend said, "No." And she said, "Why not? Oh, my gosh, you have to vote!
Don't you want to say in the future of this country?"
Yeah. Please.
Well, I can sort of understand a person who's not able to vote wondering about a person who is able to vote, and especially just this would be their first election.
Especially when they're getting pounded with the message, I'm sure, constantly at the government school. I mean, I can't even imagine how constant that must be around election season.
And this 16-year-old, though, is somebody who wears an Obama pin. And I imagine if Chelsea—oops, spilled her name.
She spilled her name a few times.
Right.
Now. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Imagine if my friend had said, "Yeah, I voted for McCain." The girl would feel a little differently. Just don't vote, okay? Stay home.
Well, I'm going to continue the story here from LouRockwell.com. Then we'll get to your phone calls, and if we get a chance, we'll talk about national service here a little bit later. But back to the article from LouRockwell.com, David Bardalis talking about some of the things that people say, some of the responses to the objections that people have.
If you
to people
don't
not voting.
Vote, your opinion doesn't count.
That's the kind of stuff we're talking about here. He says, now, is non-voting a form of surrender? Some minority of voters are sympathetic to the argument for principled non-voting, but nevertheless see it as a form of surrender. Now, to answer them, let's review the admittedly oversimplified case for not voting. Premise number one, the U.S. empire represents a threat to the peace, freedom, security, prosperity, and lives of Americans and of the peoples around the world. If you doubt this, see the Iraq War, Afghanistan War, Pakistan War, Democrat and Republican National Conventions, Department of Homeland Security, IRS, EPA, FDA, the War on Drugs, etc., etc. Premise two, the people who run the U.S. empire are mainly all the same and have rigged the political game so as to keep their real priorities and policies perpetually out of the hands of the voters.
And by rigged, I don't mean necessarily Diebold machines that change the outcome. What I would mean by that is that the laws that they've passed have made it so that it's that much more difficult, as though it wasn't difficult in the first place for a third party to do anything. It's made it that much more difficult for a third party. They don't get into the debates anymore. You remember when Anderson and Reagan and I think it was Carter Mondale maybe, were on the stage debating, or when Perot made it in with the debates with Clinton and Bush Sr., Dole or whatever. In those cases, you had a third voice. You don't get that anymore.
He goes on. He says, premise three, voting will not only change premise one regardless of who you vote for, but it furnishes the same evil government officials with the legitimacy they need to continue committing their crimes. Such pernicious concepts as the will of the people, the majority, popular mandate, etc. Conclusion, voting makes you an active accomplice to serious crimes and enables the commission of yet more crimes.
See, I do not agree with this statement that it somehow pushes their agenda and gives them a mandate. It doesn't. If I decide not to vote, in the same way that nobody can call me a bad person or blame me for the political situation if I just choose not to vote because the vote wasn't close here in New Hampshire. The four electoral votes were going to go to Obama one way, whether I voted or not, for him or against him. So the same way you can't blame me for my one vote, you can't say that I am some way endorsing it by voting. I don't think that it matters.
I think that if you vote for a big candidate, Barack Obama or John McCain, you are endorsing tyranny, whether you like it or not. But at the same time, I don't think you're an active accomplice, and I don't think it's enabling them. I think that if only 25% of people showed up for a national election, which I don't know if that has ever happened. Usually national elections
get a
significant turnout. But if only 25% or 10% of Americans showed up for the national election, I don't think that would stop the federal government from continuing to do its awful job of torturing people and stealing money from people and destroying lives. I don't think it would for one moment stop them from doing that. I don't think those politicians would say, oh, gosh, only 10% showed up this time.
You better take it easy.
Yeah, I guess we should stop this stuff, huh?
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Anyway, he goes on to say that, I must note that non-voting is only one step toward obeying the diktats of conscience. I'm not, for example, courageous enough to stop filing taxes. Not voting, however, is, as of now, a perfectly legal and easy way to disassociate oneself from the crimes of the U.S. government, and why would anyone choose otherwise? Something often said when looking back on how relatively peaceful and open societies collapsed into murderous and repressive dictatorships is, well, why didn't anyone speak up? That's what I'm doing when I don't vote and when I strongly discourage others from doing so. Voting for evil, supposedly lesser or not, is evil. Don't ever do it, says David Bardalis from LouRockwell.com. I generally agree with where he's coming from there. And I think that discouraging others from participating in the system is far more effective than just not voting. I mean, because if you don't show up, you haven't really done anything. But if you talk about it with others, then you've done something.
I'm not of the opinion that discouraging or encouraging, none of it really makes any difference. And that's the only point that I've made along these lines, is that your vote in the presidential election just doesn't make any difference.
That's true.
If you want to do it, great. Go ahead and do it. If you don't want to do it, fine. I mean, strategically, it just doesn't matter.
I'd say the pretty much number one reason, really, to vote is to feel good. It makes people feel good when they vote.
Yep.
They're doing their part.
And they feel better if their candidate wins.
Oh, yeah.
Then they're vindicated.
Testosterone levels increase.
There's a gentleman who I work with who was really really into McCain. Of course, he's into any Republican candidate that ever existed, but he was so, he has not talked to anybody since McCain lost, and he started parking backwards because he has bumper stickers, Palin and McCain bumper stickers.
He could just pull them off.
Yeah, I mean, he could take them off, but he's like embarrassed.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's very silly. Mm.
So the toll-free number here, if you want to chime in on this discussion or bring up whatever you want, is 800-259-9231. And I understand that Mr. Bardalis here, the article, the guy that wrote the article, he's feeling good because he's not voting. But really, that's not doing that much. I mean, it's not really doing that much to put a stop to the terrible things that the state is doing to people. And I wish that he did have the courage to stop paying taxes. I understand why he doesn't. He probably has a family. He probably has a house. He probably has things that he doesn't want to lose, some comforts, some nice things in his life that he would otherwise want to have. And that could be all of that could be changed if the IRS decided to go and destroy his freedom as a result of that. So I understand why he doesn't. But what I'd like to encourage people like him to do is to move up here to New Hampshire, join the Free State Project, get active for liberty up here, because we actually have a real shot at achieving liberty in our lifetime here in New Hampshire. And I wonder how many people in the liberty movement have still even not heard of the Free State Project. Because you'd think that these people that are writing articles over at LouRockwell.com would be just jazzed up and excited about the Free State Project, but yet I've only seen a few articles there about it. I know that Manuel Lora is one of the authors there who is a Free State Project member. I think Bill Walker is another one who's a Free State Project member. So they've got a couple guys that are, you know, Free Staters, but you don't really see it too much in the realm of sort of libertarian academia. You don't really see it discussed too often, and I wonder why that is. If you've got any suggestions as to answers to that question, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Coming up, Barack Obama has a plan for national service, and it involves the high schoolers of America, as we expected it to. Yes, this is what we predicted would happen after we saw what they were talking about at the recent the September 11th summit that they had on this national service or national slavery idea. We'll tell you what they're planning to implement, or at least at this point in the game. It could get worse before it actually passes. We'll see what's going to happen. We'll talk to you about whatever you want. This is Free Talk Live, 800-259-9231.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest. Is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days. And give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-246-6204. That's 1-800-246-6204. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Call 1-800-246-6204. That's 1-800-246-6204.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Drink and Mate proudly presents another mind-boggling episode of America's toughest quiz show, That's Too Complicated. Let's see if we can figure out which contestant got the intellectual edge after an evening of partying by using Drink and Mate.
For 20 points in the win, Milt, GLUR5 and blank kinate receptor subunits in hippocampal neurons co-assemble to form functional receptors.
Pony?
Oh, too bad. Yes, Chip.
the logical companion of Glur 5, Glur 6.
You've won the game!
Hey, life is like a game, and if you want to win, you've got to give it your best every day, which doesn't always happen after an evening of celebrating with friends and family. That's why there's Drinkin' Mate, a patented formula of guava leaf extract proven to reduce the effects of hangover. It restores balance to your body, keeping headaches and nausea at bay, and it really works. Tell them, Don.
Drinkin' Mate. I wouldn't be able to read this without it.
Available at quality retailers nationwide. Drinkin' Mate urges you to please drink responsibly.
Are you tired of hearing that a cure for cancer is coming, but it will be available sometime in the future? At Lays Med Inc., the future is here. Now it's cancer's turn to die with our patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can kill skin cancer and breast tumors of any size and many other types of cancer without adverse side effects at our outpatient facility. We offer a real solution using real science. Our unique approach to cancer treatment is what everyone has been waiting for. A simple, easy way to eliminate the threat of cancer. Laser technology at its best. To receive an information packet, call our treatment center at 501-255-0528. That's 501-255-0528. Or visit our website at LaysMedInc.com. That's LaysMedInc.com today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything if you dial the toll-free number at 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Martin. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features on the site, they're free, so enjoy those on us. And if you like the show and would like to help support Free Talk Live, you can shop with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Enter Amazon through that link, and Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. Whatever it is you're buying, whether it's used or brand new, get your shopping done. Feel good because you're helping Free Talk Live and getting the brands you trust at great prices and super saver shipping. In many cases, is free with orders over $25. That's not every item that they have, but it's a whole lot of them. So head over there and get your shopping done at Amazon.FreeTalkLive.com, especially considering the holiday season is virtually upon us here. And you're going to probably be looking to do some shopping. Why bother wasting time at the mall, spending too much? And those mall stores have to pay all kinds of money for rent and overhead and stuff like that. Whereas Amazon, they're just shipping stuff out of warehouses. So you're going to get stuff cheaper if you go through Amazon.FreeTalkLive.com. All right, so we're going to the national service issue. Started out by talking about, in the very beginning of the show, Julia, you weren't here for this part, but in the beginning of the show, what we found out is that Barack Obama has already begun talking about who he's going to choose to be his staff members in the White House.
Right.
And his chief of staff had been revealed in one of his books that he's written to have essentially been calling for compulsory national service. And we've talked about national service a lot on this program over the years. We've talked about the idea of them drafting young people, essentially, into becoming government bureaucrats. Not just into the military, which they'll be doing that, but also drafting them in to become Peace Corps bureaucrats or AmeriCorps bureaucrats. Or apparently Barack Obama wants to start up like 10 different corps. He wants like the old person's corps, and he wants the Veterans Corps. And
something called a Civilian Defense Corps.
Right, the Homeland Security Corps. And so apparently his chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel from Illinois, is saying that he's going to ask all Americans between the ages of 18 and 25 to go through 3 months of basic training, as well as 3 months of 3 months of civil defense training and 3 months of civilian service. And this was just his proposal. Again, this is not official. This is not on the table as far as what.
And when am I supposed to find time to do this?
Well, you're going to have to take time off of work, I would guess.
Well, I find that insulting.
Don't worry, Julia. They'll probably come and mandate that your employer take you back, just like they do with the military people. They'll mandate that there'll be a law that they'll pass that'll say that, well, if we take your employee away for 3 months, you have to hire them back later on. So that'll be fine.
Oh my gosh, I would be so angry. I don't even know how I would. I don't know how I would respond to that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what Obama's put on the table, because now he, besides this guy saying that he's just going to ask you to come and serve for a year of your life, they're also saying at the same time that the nation will enlist you. So when they use a term like enlist, and they also use a term like universal, it makes it sound like, it's going to be forced. It makes it sound like it's going to be mandatory, especially when in another paragraph he says that some Republicans will squeal about individual freedom. Well, why would that be? Maybe it's because it's going to be coercive. Maybe it's because there aren't going to be another option. Maybe it's because everybody between 18 and 25 under this guy's plan would have to go and work for the federal government. But let's also focus in on what was written by the same author here, not the friend of Barack Obama, but J.D. Tusiel from the Civil Liberties Examiner.
I cannot wait almost until this stuff starts happening. I hope it starts happening fast and just awful stuff just right down the pipes, because I'll bet everybody I know who voted for Obama has never even heard of this.
It's probably true. I know that some people were out talking to the Obama supporters about this. Dave Ridley was out there talking about it to some people, and they certainly didn't seem to have a grasp on the concept. Some of them acted as though they weren't really that aware of the idea, but when presented with the idea, they supported it. Because Barack Obama.
I bet if they said McCain supported it,
They
would have said something different. That'd be an interesting little thought experiment.
Oh, I bet you're right about that. So here's the story from J.D. Tusiel at Civil Liberties Examiner. Both Barack Obama and John McCain have long supported some sort of national service that involves large-scale participation by Americans in projects deemed worthy by a government agency. It may mean building housing, assisting with the provision of medical care, or patrolling the border, but overall it involves putting aside personal preferences, as McCain puts it, for a cause greater than yourself. Obama devotes an entire section of his campaign website to national service. McCain does the same and penned a column back in 2001 praising AmeriCorps and calling for expanded opportunities for government-sanctioned service. Both candidates recently appeared at a national service forum sponsored by Time Magazine, which has made the issue its house hobby horse. McCain and Obama have each praised local volunteerism, but seem to think that donating your time to a soup kitchen, a clinic, or a church is less valuable than participation in a grand-scale scheme managed by the state. And when we were talking about this particular National Service Summit that he's referring to here, that was definitely the message that was coming across. The message was very crystal clear, and that was that, well, volunteering's good, but working as a bureaucrat is the most honorable thing that a man or woman can do in this country. This was the message that they were very, very clearly putting out there. Tusiel says, I have a lot of thoughts about politicians who deem hours spent in grassroots service to causes chosen freely by volunteers to be inferior to government programs run from D.C., but I'll hold my tongue on that for now. What does interest me, though, is whether all this talk of national service means that the grand old days of conscription are about to return, though now with draftees stuffed into hospital scrubs and denim as often as they're required to don camouflage. McCain was once an advocate of the draft, though as far as I can tell, he's uttered nary a word in favor of conscription since he started pursuing residency in the White House. The National Service section of his website is full of talk about opportunities and incentives. Lots of carrot, but no stick. Whatever his personal feelings, he seems to understand that draft boards are no longer compatible with presidential ambitions. Now, let's be clear. Politicians say one thing during the campaign and do another. If McCain was elected, he would have been saying that it's only going to be voluntary.
I didn't want to have to do it, folks, but it's important for the nation.
Right. Country first.
Well, yeah, exactly. So that's what they'll say is, well, we didn't want to make this conscription. We didn't want to make this involuntary, but you know what? Times are tough, and we need you to serve. We need you to become a government bureaucrat.
What I want to know is if people would really just bend over like they do over and over and over again, or if this would be the straw that just, because that's going to interrupt a lot of people's lives.
Sure, it will. People have plans. They like what they're doing.
This is more than a seatbelt law or something stupid like that.
That's a good observation, and it's a good question. If you have an answer to it, at 800-259-9231, would the institution of a national service program that's compulsory, that's mandatory, push you over the edge and make it so you non-cooperated?
It's a draft, and I feel like a lot of people would realize that, and that would just infuriate people. But then again, I feel like I've said that before about other things, and nobody's done anything.
You'd think that it went with the confiscating of Americans' property, with the, I can't remember, New London.
Yeah.
Eminent domain.
And people have forgotten about that already.
Yeah, they have.
Where the Supreme Court basically said right out in the open, hey, governments all across the country can take private property for private purposes, give it to other private property owners, and that's A-OK. And
right, and with the Heller decision, the Supreme Court said that they can regulate gun ownership in any way they wish.
How about the outrage over the bailout? How about the 100-to-1 phone calls the so-called representatives were getting against the $700 billion bailout?
The Supreme Court's refusal to hear.
Where's the outrage?
Right. There isn't. The people that are people like myself are continuing to be outraged, but it's a very small amount of people. The Supreme Court refusing to hear the petition for redress of grievances from the We the People organization case. Just we don't need to hear that.
No, they just. Smack down freedom everywhere it might possibly rear its head. And what do people who actually are concerned about freedom do about it? They cry in their they cry in their porridge.
Right. They think the bureaucrats believe that they know best. Now they may believe that they're going to do the right thing with it, but they believe they know better than you. Some of them probably are bad folks or selfish folks, but by and large, they probably think, oh, well, we just know better. And, mm-hmm. and that has to be what happened with the bailout, because I suspect there's a lot of incumbents got their butts handed to them over this bailout situation.
Did they? Has anybody seen that as what the incumbent reelection rate was this year?
I don't know, but I know Sununu didn't make it, and neither did Dole.
Yeah, it's probably more likely
that it would have helped if they would have voted the right way.
Maybe, but it's also probably likely that incumbent Republicans had a tougher time than incumbent Democrats this year. It seemed to be kind of a clear out, still sort of a repeat of 2006, where a number of Democrats were getting in over Republicans. But nonetheless, this issue of national service is still, it's very prominent. They're talking about it now, and you can expect to see them talking about it more openly as far as what their plans are. But we haven't gotten to Barack Obama's plan yet. What is it that he is putting on the table as far as requiring high school students to do national service? It's sounding already like it's going to be a mandatory program, and we'll get to the details here. Of course, I have to ask you, what'll you do about it? Whether you're in the age bracket or not, whether you're a parent of a young person or whether you are the young person, how will you respond to the new draft? 800-259-9231.
How confidential is email? Consider this fact. In a recent survey of IT professionals, over 35% admitted to snooping through their boss's email. It's just one of the many privacy risks that come from relying on this aging technology. If such risks bother you, visit privacyharbor.com, a secure alternative that keeps messages private and beyond the reach of eavesdroppers. privacyharbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Did you miss your favorite shows on GCN today? Thanks to the continued support of our listeners, subscribers, and sponsors, we are proud to bring the GCN audience a new and exciting way to listen called On Demand. Available on GCNlive.com, On Demand plays each show continuously until the next time the show goes live. It's simple to use. Just go to GCNlive.com, click on the On Demand button, and find your favorite shows. Don't get discouraged. Get On Demand. Free. Thanks again to the listeners at GCNlive.com.
Silver.